Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Kappa Kappa Psi Presents, the official podcast for Kappa Kappa Psi National Honorary Band Fraternity. I'm your editor and host, Ryan Smith. This is the finale of the conversation between the NIB composer, Alex Shapiro, and the NIB conductor for 2021, Cynthia Johnston Turner. If you haven't listened to the previous two parts, you should go back and listen to those first before listening to this episode. This episode picks up right where we left off in the conversation last week. I hope you enjoy this episode.
I was going to just... Sorry. Could you take off your mask? What kind of a major are you?
Game designer.
Cool. Oh, great.
And because of that, my major is game design and not music composition. And I like to find out the best way to kind of pursue any knowledge that I'm missing out on.
Come to Laurier, a school in Canada where I'm a new dean, and we're actually going to have a degree in music and game design. Multi-billion-dollar industry. It is a multi-billion-dollar industry that music schools are not. What do we do with this? They don't know what to do with it, right? You're just going to have to do you for a while. Right, I think it was a smart thing to go into game design and then use your music to make it happen. But huge, huge opportunity.
Are you going to the game conferences? Go to the conferences. That's where it's happening. Go to the conferences, meet a lot of people, build your relationships with them. You will be working. You'll be getting both your games and your music out there. You know, do go to the conferences. Best advice I can give you, in addition to whatever education you do, it's not instead of education, but I mean, meanwhile, you know, while the education thing is catching up, go to the conferences.
So what about any methods in the meantime of like self-education?
Online, there are enormous communities, as you know. Keep participating in those communities online. There's so much information being shared peer-to-peer in this field, especially. Just find out where those groups are, where those chat rooms are, where the Reddits are, where whatever is going on. Get involved.
Are you wondering what kind of music should go with the games you're designing?
Not necessarily. I'm just like, you know, I'm not in music theory classes. I'm not getting a lot of the technical knowledge.
Do you think it matters?
Do you think it? What do you need theory for? To address the woman to your rights question from before, do you think I was thinking about music theory when I wrote Distanced? Yes or no? Right. I'm not saying it's bad to know, obviously.
No, of course not.
But it's nice to know it. It is not necessary. You know, in other words, if your ears are working, and if your heart is working, and if your heart is connected to your ears, you're in really good shape. That's what it is to make music and to make art and to make anything in life, is that connection, you know?
Can I tell my hip hop story?
Oh, yeah, please.
So before I left Georgia, we were 2 years into a project where the question we asked was, what would a piece sound like co-composed by an Athens area hip hop artist and a so-called classically trained faculty composer played by a wind ensemble? Those conversations with the hip hop artists in Athens started early on, and we had already made connections with some folks in the anti-discrimination group in Athens. And so they set us up with some hip hop artists. And there were three faculty composers, myself, Connie Frigo, and five hip hop artists sitting around a table at the Globe, which is a bar in Athens, very cool bar in Athens. We talked about the artistic process. How do you approach music? What is your artistic process? course, all the classically trained, and don't get me started on that term.
Pet peeve 57.
Exactly. all the classically trained musicians, we talked about music theory and concertizing and the way we look at a score and blah, blah, blah. And the hip hop artists are talking about, well, I find a producer, I find a groove, and then I make my poetry and the music comes from there. Like, two completely different ways of approaching the art of music and poetry, right? And so one way is not better or higher than the other. And the sooner we realize that, the better the music field is going to be. Right? And the other thing that happened at that conversation, I tell this story a lot because I don't think he has any idea how profound his question was to me as a conductor and a programmer of music. I must have said during the conversation at some point, pops concert, you know, in terms of programming and how we program music, et cetera. You know, 15 minutes later in the very cool conversation that we were having in a connection, King Blanco is his name. He said, can I ask a question? And I said, yes. And he looked at me, he said, what's a pops concert? And I said, a pops concert is when we play the music that the audience really wants to hear. a pops concert is, you know, I didn't have a good answer. It's an extremely good question. So, I mean, that's a really roundabout way of getting out of the headspace that you have to know music theory to compose. And whose theory is it?
It's, yeah,
right?
It's,
I mean, it doesn't hurt.
But it's only one theory. Like, I wish that the music of India, the music of Indonesia, the music of China, the music of Africa, talk about rhythmic complexity, talk about harmonic microtonal complexity, right? In so many countries that are the majority of the world. Europe is the minority, right? And somehow it's been so imperialist in the way we're in the right room for that. It's, you know, in the way that...
Awfully colonized.
And colonized, yes. It's ridiculous. When you think about it, it makes no sense. We know how it happened. It's an ugly history, frankly, about how that has happened. And it's our job. Everyone in this room has the power to make that change. If you are teaching second graders, you can expose them to music from around the world and talk about those rhythms and those microtones. If you're teaching college students, you can do that. My problem, when I go into virtually or otherwise a ton of band rooms or music education, you know, classrooms, I never see this, almost never, and I'm appalled. And then it's up to me to bring it up and just at least mention it in the context of, you know, whatever else we're talking about, to raise the awareness. We're back to that, just like with anything else. It drives me nuts. Pet peeve number 63, it just drives me nuts. So anyway, long, you got a lot of answer for your money there. We went off on tangents, but the most important thing is, I bet you're passionate about doing this, and that's the greatest asset you have for any of us have. Is the joy and passion of wanting to pursue doing what you hear and what you do, what you like to do, and what you do best. When you find, here's Alex Shapiro's secret to a happy life. It's very simple. Think of a Venn diagram. Two bubbles, right? One bubble has the things that you actually do very, very well, but you're not passionate about. You wouldn't be happy making your living doing them, but you know you could do them very well. I'd be a kick-ass executive director of some nonprofit organization. And I'm very involved as a volunteer with many of them, but would I want that as my daily job? No. So that's this, right? That's the things you do really well, but don't love. The other bubble is the things you really love to do, but maybe if you're really brutally honest with yourself, you know, you're okay at them, but it's not necessarily where you shine in a lot of it. Case in point, I love writing songs. I write a lot of indie pop songs and rock songs. They're mediocre. I mean, some of them have been, you know, out there in movies where they're mediocre. I was never destined to be a good songwriter. And I knew I was smart enough to know that. But it doesn't stop me from writing them. I love being an amateur, someone who loves, you know, an amateur songwriter. So what happens when these two bubbles collide and overlap? It's that sliver in the middle of the things that you do really well and the things you love to do. When those two things collide, folks, that is a happy life. Think about it. It's so simple. And it's up to you to be honest with yourself and trust your gut. What do you love to do? What do you want to do? As when we're younger, we have to try a whole lot of things, you know, obviously. We all try a lot of things. As you get older, it will become more and more clear where your strengths and where your passions lie.
It's so interesting to me that you separate songwriting and composition.
Well,
it's not interesting.
No, I'm from a business end.
Yeah.
That was a business.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, musically, I don't, because I turn around, like in the middle of writing the symphony, I would pick up my guitar and start wailing on something totally
But we've separated them in music schools, haven't we?
Music schools,
right?
Ridiculous. Yeah. But, and I would argue that the piece you described with the hip hop artist should not be in the Pops concert.
Whatever that is.
I'm
not going to do them anymore, that's for sure.
It shouldn't be on any concert that is designated as a pop concert. It should be on a concert, a place where people convene and listen to music. And it should be right next to the Beethoven, as far as I'm concerned. Right next to the, we're getting long in the wind here, but right next to everything. I don't believe in neither does Dr. Turner, in ghettoizing and segregating music. You know, it's compartmentalizing it. It's all music. You know, we all write it, and I obviously write a lot of different kinds of things. So one last question before we wrap up. We're about to get the hook.
Okay, so what was your inspiration for doing the attempt at doing what inspiration did you have to get to the
I'm not very good at it. I've been asked this question before, and I'm not very good at it. If we're going to de-silo conducting and education, I didn't. I never thought of myself as a conductor, per se. I just wanted to be a teacher. Well, that's not true. I wanted to be a vet. And then I took biology in grade 9 and went,
It was not going to work out.
Speaking of the happy life, I don't know, musical vet, I don't know. I just wanted to be a high school band director. That was it. And I was a high school band director. Loved it. And then I did my master's and then got, there was this. And then I went to Eastman and I started as a PhD in music education, and I was going to change lives about genre and pedagogy and all this sort of stuff. And I went to Don Hunsberger, who was at Eastman before Mark Scatterday. I was following him around with coffee like a puppy. And he said, do you want to conduct something? And I did. Carel Husso was in the audience, and I did Alfresco with Window, which is the second wind ensemble there. And Don Hunsberger said, you should be a conductor. And that was like, Domine Nobis Patrum. So I switched to the DMA, and that was that. You need to ask somebody else that question, because I don't think of myself as an inspirational conductor. I there is this stigma. I'm not a pet peeve. Where are we at? 64 or 65 of college band directors who have forgotten that they are teachers and that they are in an institution of learning, and that they should be facilitating risk-taking and learning and not having a perfect concert. So there's a maestro syndrome happening with a lot of college band directors. I think it's partly self-esteem that they're not orchestra conductors. I mean, I may be saying too much, but that we forget that we are first and foremost educators. And I think thinking that way and developing yourself as as the best musician you can be, and taking acting lessons and practicing gesture and all that sort of stuff, I think it's a sideline to be a great conductor. I mean, I've worked at it, sure, done a lot of things, but I think the true meaning of maestro a lot of us have forgotten, and that we're teachers.
Beautifully put.
Oh, I didn't think I answered that very well.
I think you did.
I think we're done.
I think we're done. You've had enough of us.
This concludes the conversation between NIB composer Alex Shapiro and NIB conductor Cynthia Johnston Turner at Grand Rapids, Michigan for National Convention 2021. If you have any suggestions, comments, or questions, you can send those to me at smity@kksci.org. That is smity@kksci.org. Have a wonderful day, and as always, AEA.